do we always say Mark before we... Oh! Well, good morning. It's another episode of 30 Minute Reviews, and I am Katie.
Hello, and I am Eric.
Hello, Eric. And we talk about TV shows every week or so for about 30 minutes. We choose a show, or you can tell us what show you want us to review, and we talk about it for half an hour, and we tell you why you should watch it, or why you shouldn't watch it, or something in between, gloriously neutral, I guess. And this is episode number seven. Lucky number seven.
What?
I know. How did that happen? So weird. So if you haven't checked us out yet, and this is the first one you're listening to, thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoy it. What's nice about this podcast is you don't have to listen to them all. You can just pick and choose which ones, hey, I'm interested in that show, so I'll listen to that one. And I like that part of it. Yay, indeed. This week's show, I'm pretty excited about it. We talked about a show that's similar, and while we were talking about the show that was similar, we kept hearkening back to this one, saying if you like Schitt's Creek, you will also like this show because it's a comedy, but it's heartwarming, and it's like kind of got that everyman vibe to it. Like, it's the journey we're all on. I think all the things that Schitt's Creek did really, really well, Ted Lasso does right out of the gate. I just love it so much.
Yeah, from the first episode.
From the very first. It hits its stride. It's on Apple TV Plus. It's got great production quality. And we're talking about, of course,
Ted Lasso.
Hi, Ted Lasso. We love you. So Ted Lasso came out last year in August 2020. And on Apple TV Plus, as I said, it's comedy, as I said, but it's so much more than a comedy. I just wanted to take a minute because the Metacritic score is mostly positive with a little mixed. It's 71, which is lower than I expected. I know. But yeah. I just want to read a couple of the reviews. There are plenty of words explaining why to come, but I'm not sure there's any better endorsement than the fact I couldn't stop watching and I didn't want to. And that's how we felt as soon as we saw the first episode. We kind of watched the first episode because a couple people had said, you know, oh, you're a big Schitt's Creek fan. You should watch Ted Lasso next because it's excellent and it's doing all the things that we... So we watched, and then we immediately were like, oh yeah, we're watching all of these. And we just kept watching. And it evolved and grew. So,
I tell you what, we were resistant to watching it a great deal because it's sports. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the background is he's a soccer coach. fish out of water story, you know.
Sure.
And... we don't watch sports. We don't, you know sports ball or anything, have anything to do with sports ball, really. One member of the household, though, will watch the Super Bowl, and therefore the rest of us watch it as well by osmosis, you know, while we play video games. So anyway, here's this Ted Lasso. It's a, you know, sports comedy, really. And we were like, meh, you know, we don't, that's none of our business. But then...
Remember what I said things, to you?
Yes. Two things conspired against that resistance. Okay. One is it got 32,000 awards and nominations and stuff like that from all the things. You know, everybody was going ape over it. And also it was featured in Apple, keynote addresses and things like that. You know, they would say, here's all our products. Oh, and hey, don't forget about Ted Lasso. You know, and they would like go out of their way to mention it specifically.
Right.
And so for Apple, it was like really important to them. And I thought, wow, it must be something if they're giving it that much emphasis. But it was your recommendation that said, you don't have to know a single thing about sports ball. They hardly cover it. You know, just put that part of your objection aside and just watch it. And here is my ringing endorsement for it. We don't know anything about soccer, and after watching a whole season of Ted Lasso, and we're current to whatever episode is up right now, we still know
Right.
nothing about soccer. Not
Right.
a single thing. They use their
It
feet to
didn't
kick the
dupe
ball into
you
a
into
goal.
teaching you.
Right?
I know
That
exactly
is it. That's.
what you're saying. That's so funny.
And so that is how in a sense, de-emphasized, the sports part of the sports comedy is. That's just the MacGuffin, the convenient backdrop, the setting,
Right.
for the series. And that's pretty much it. It's only all about the characters and what they're doing and stuff like that. It could have been set literally anywhere. A fish packing plant, an airline, a retail store, it doesn't matter. It's still the same comedy, and that it's just soccer is neither here nor there. So therefore, I give it a very high recommendation because sports ball meh, Ted Lasso fantastic. You won't regret it. Fantastic writing and acting, production value, etc. It deserves all the awards that it's getting nominated for. So yeah, love it bunches. It's doing the everyman perfectly well. I don't think I've seen an everyman comedy done as well. And the only thing I worried about as I was watching the first season was that they were giving Ted Lasso himself so much airtime. It's an ensemble cast, but he's, that's the lead character. And he's kind of a one trick pony. The fish out of water shtick, the fish out of water folksy, homesy, shtick. And I thought, man, is this going to get, too tiring?
Tiresome.
Is this character going to get on my nerves a little bit too much? And I can say for the second season, they are aware of that concern and are addressing it. More of the other cast is getting other characters are getting more airtime and more emphasis and stuff like that. And so they are balancing everything perfectly, really.
Good.
And that is another testament to the skill of the writing. They know what they're doing over there, I gotta say.
That's excellent to know. I haven't started season two. I'm kind of waiting until there's a few more in the can because they're rolling them out week to week, and I want to dive in, and I don't want to be sitting there, after a whole week thinking, let's see what happened to Ted. I want to just binge like all 10 or 12 episodes in 3 or 4 nights. So one of the things I think why season one worked so well, despite him getting tons of airtime, is so just a bit of background. The reason this show exists is because Jason is a huge American football fan, and he was doing, I'm gonna get this wrong, but I think for he comes from Saturday Night Live. He's a great comedian, and he's done tons of stuff since that. But one of the things he did was he created a character for a bit he did, and this sports ball caster was his character. He was just this folksy, down home, yippity yip kind of guy, who was just very endearingly naive, but not, and yet knew a lot about sports and just knew a lot about, I mean, he's not stupid, he's just straightforward and simple in a nice way. Like simple, like, sitting down with grandma and eating pie, kind of simple, right? It doesn't mean stupid, and it's not ignorant at all. It's just, he just likes the good things in life. And the reason season one worked so well is because he was relentlessly positive. He was relentlessly lovely, respectful, kind, open-minded. So the fish out of water works so well because he gets to a country he knows nothing about, and he starts coaching a sport he literally knows nothing about, along with us. And nothing, and none of it matters. And he's trashed in the press, and he's trashed by the fans, and he's, behind the scenes trashed by other people who shall remain nameless for spoiler reasons. And he still is unflaggingly, doggedly positive. He just wants to leave every moment of his life better than when he got there. And a really great example is right in episode one or two, he walks into the change room and the star of the team has a hot girlfriend and he's got nudie pics of her up in the locker, up in his locker. Mm-hmm. And this is right after Ted has met said girlfriend. Like, he knows her now in person. Mm-hmm. He knows she's a cutie and a nice person and he kind of likes her because mm-hmm. she's got a lot of spunk. And mm-hmm. he turns and when he sees the images of her, he just takes some tape and he just walks over to the locker and he just covers the bits with the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think in that moment, he's just taking something, you know, that's kind of eh, and he's just making it better. He's not taking them down. That's his girlfriend and she's lovely to look at. But he's just taking the icky part of it and making it okay. Like, I love mm-hmm. that he does that. And mm-hmm. the other thing is someone says something horrible to him. They compare him to something terrible. You know, I can't remember what they compare him to at all. But mm-hmm. he says, you know, oh, well, that's my favorite one of those. You know what I mean? Like, if it's an old man, he's like, oh, that's my favorite old man. Or I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Like, if they compare him to an old mm-hmm. car, he's like, ooh, that's one of my favorite models. Like, he just takes everything thrown at him. And there's a lot. Like, there's a lot being thrown mm-hmm, at him. Mm-hmm. Personally, professionally, emotionally, physically, everything. And he just is unflaggingly, doggedly positive.
Undying.
undyingly positive. So the thing I keep taking away from it is we can all do better. We can all do better. Now, the people around him, some are freaking great and they're naturally positive, like his best friend mm-hmm. and coach and stuff. You know, the guy that he's mm-hmm. the manager of the team, but the guy that coaches, he's fantastic. He's the straight man, you know, to his humor, but he's also kind of his, you know, his girlfriend when he wants to sit down to tea and gossip or when he wants to suss out a problem, he's kind of his Watson mm-hmm. to his Holmes. Like, he's just a really perfect companion. But then there's people around him, some have huge shortcomings and failings and they need to really get fixed. And Ted Lasso never claims to be the person that can fix them. And yet his influence and gentle and kind encouragement, and sometimes, you know, even drawing a line in the sand or putting his foot down, just how he does it all is so lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So eventually everybody just, you know, all lives happily ever after. Not, but... I think what I was concerned about season two is because they kind of wrapped up season one nicely. Like, it could have been a one season show,
yeah.
except yeah. it was yeah. so hugely popular and everybody was screaming for more. And then I thought, oh, well, what are they going to do with season two? Where can they go from here? So I'm glad to mm-hmm. know that they're digging deeper into those around him a little bit more. That seems really mm-hmm. good to me because you've watched the first two or three that are out.
Yep. Yeah, however many there are. Yep. Mm-hmm. I forget now. It's what's crazy is that it's only a half hour show, but it feels like an hour.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot going
they
on.
Pack
yeah.
They pack a lot into each episode. That makes me realize that the show is actually much more rapid fire than you would think for a, you know, fish out of water, folksy, down home, you know, kind of character driven comedy. It's actually really quickly paced. You know, a lot happens to a lot of people in a short amount of time. So they have it's a big cast, but I feel like everybody is getting their moment. You know, it feels like a more equal ensemble cast, you know, especially with the second season going on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like I say, they know what they're doing. They're pushing all of the buttons in the correct order. You know, it's coming out great.
Oh, that's good. I'm so glad. And yeah, like you said, it's been nominated for the first season was nominated for several awards, you know, including best actor in a comedy or a series that mm-hmm. Jason kept winning. Like, he won the Golden Globe and he won the Emmy. But then the other thing, is that season two is just got every single award. I think it I think it got a record number of awards. Did I dream that?
I haven't been keeping track, I must admit.
Anyway, there's tons. There's an article out there that says Ted Lasso is on track to win all 5 major TV acting awards for one season.
Mm.
So, anyway.
I believe it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's weird because there are a lot of shows out there, and I've said this before in previous podcasts, and I'll say it again and again. There are many ensemble shows in which the lead actor or actress, and it's no fault of their own, is the weak mm-hmm. link in the series because they're fine
yeah.
and they do the job because the show is popular and it runs forever and mm-hmm. you know, but the people around them are just right, like you just end up mm-hmm. being so incredibly enamored by the job that everybody around them is doing. And I can think of a whole bunch of shows off the top of my head, but I feel guilty. I don't want to name them because everybody's just trying their best and being an actor. But there are so many shows in which, you know, I'll turn to my husband. I'll be like, the least compelling character, the person that's really that I tune in to watch week after week, the least is the lead or the titular character. And we just love everybody in it. And that's why we keep watching and watching. And Ted Lasso, is, even though it's his show by name and stuff, he is definitely not the least entertaining, the least compelling character in the show. Like I'm happy to say that that's not what's happening here. I think of shows like Schitt's Creek or Friends, where it's a true ensemble, where they just take turns highlighting whomever in the cast, and nobody is the true star. I'm really liking that kind of show. You know, you have these named shows like Ted Lasso or like, for example, Buffy, you know, and the show's supposed to be about them. But really, you just grow to love everyone around them. And you just want to know what's going on with everybody around them. So,
That's a good analogy with Buffy. Yeah, that's true. Because I came to be much more interested in what was going on with the other characters.
Everyone.
Yeah, they were more interesting. Buffy seemed to be more like the straight man character to everyone else's antics, you know, and by antics I mean, you know, horror and, you know, horror. Adventure and stuff like that, but Buffy was like the baseline, but everyone else also, you know, was above that, you know.
But to be fair, in later seasons they kind of dealt with that. While everybody was running around going hee hee hee, we're having fun, we're a Scooby gang, she literally stood up one day and said, look guys, the only reason you can run around and have fun killing monsters is because I do all the hard, horrible, terrible work. Like she in later seasons kind of became the mom, and she was like, look kids, like I go to work every day so we have food on the table. And I loved that when they finally did that, because yeah, I think in the middle seasons she seemed to kind of be a little bit floundering as far as her character development or lack thereof went. But there are so many, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there are so many shows where you think it's supposed to be about, you know, dude or gal A, and you end up being far more interested in everyone else. And they're the, like you say, straight man's a really good word for it, that they're kind of, they set the scene, but everybody else does, you know,
gets the jokes.
Heavier, cooler lifting. Yeah, gets the jokes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to do it, even though.
And that's, that's the fault of the showrunners, really, because you don't get to be the lead if you're, you know, incompetent. So, yeah, the lead character should be able to, you know, be more, do more, etc. like that. It's all about the show running. If you have an ensemble cast and, you know, one or more begins to emphasize over the other.
Like, I think sometimes... Yeah,
unless it's intentional, but who does that?
Sometimes it might be, but I think sometimes, too, it's... Mm-hmm. Maybe they expect to get 2 or 3 seasons. They don't expect to go for 8 seasons, or they don't expect, like, for example, a great example is Lost, because in season 1, right? You're really kind of hooked into whatever Jack is doing. But then later you're like, oh, Jack, just show me somebody else. Just show me Sawyer, you know, because Yeah, but yeah, it's yeah. probably because they're like, what do you mean we've got another two seasons after the third one? We were expecting to be
Right?
done mid-season two. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, that's a real problem, actually, with series that are quote unquote too successful because they, run longer than the showrunners anticipated or thought or reasonably expected and are left with, what do we do now? Yeah, we've all seen shows that have gone past their time and unraveled, the longer they went. And it takes real courage, and we have seen this as well, real courage for showrunners to say, no, we're doing, three, maybe four seasons, and then that's it. That's the conclusion of our story. And to go longer would be terrible. And they will say, we've all seen series that have gone longer than they should. We're not doing that. As long as we have this story, we're telling it, and then we're done. Out, and that's the best story. And I think that happens more, it seems to happen more in England, British TV
Where they go
than
out on
American,
top.
because 'cause British were like, no, this is two seasons and done forever. Thank you. And we'll, wait a year and a half between seasons and there you go. But America is like, can we stretch this out just a little bit longer? Just a little bit. Ugh.
In fact, there are shows that will have what they call series over there, series one. And the only reason they even get series two, I think, is the American influence, or if there's any kind of stakeholder from the US saying, give us another because this did great, you know? And they're like, but this was okay. Well, we could do a side story about this dude and it won't be very interesting, but sure, here you go, you know, like Broadchurch, for example, you know? But
Yeah, good example.
yeah, but it feels to me like that could have been one and done. There wasn't a
Yeah.
huge reveal in series two there at all. It was kind of like, okay, well, we liked these characters, so here they are again, not doing much.
Right? That's an excellent example because I remember I watched a season or series one of Broadchurch. Great, great show. Loved it. Really good.
And it
Really
tied
good.
up, which I
And
know you love. You love when you
yeah.
get to the end and you're like, oh, thank God they told us who it was, because if they hadn't, I would have,
Right?
you know, thrown the remote
It's
across
a
the room.
murder mystery show. The
So,
whole thing is investigating a murder.
right.
And the whole season, the whole series is who done it, And so of course you gotta have at the end, who done it. And so right, great. It's kind of like a really long TV movie, and I'm fine with that,
Yes,
because it
yeah,
was
beautifully
great.
done.
And then they said, we're gonna have a Broadchurch series two. And at first, I was like, hooray, Broadchurch. And then the very next instant, I was like, wait,
We don't need
what?
it.
Because
Right?
we found out who done it. Is there going to be another one? That sounds a little contrived. And why? Why a season two?
It's
What's.
literally,
I
let's see
don't.
how we follow every single character's PTSD and how they each play out. That's how it ended up. I don't know if you watched it.
I remember watching like the first one or two, and I realized, oh no, this
No,
is not, no,
it's
I'm just
definitely
gonna
not as
live with a happy
wholesome.
memory of the first season and go about my life.
Yeah, we
Thank
don't
you though.
need Murder of the Year every year and to see, you know, because it really is more about, okay, there's another murder. Okay, we'll investigate again. But in the meantime, let's talk about literally how the first season affected everyone in season two, and to the point where they can barely do their jobs to solve the second murder, you know, like, or I don't even know if it was murder, but yeah, it's just not a fun thing at all. I mean, I watched it because I love everyone in it, but that was a one and done. That could have been one and done. That's why I'm so excited when you say Ted Lasso season two is being true to season one, and yet it's evolving and maturing in a way that's going to be sustainable. Because, I mean, this is probably Apple TV's most popular show, which is why,
It seems like.
yeah. And so they're going to want, I mean, the businessmen and shareholders are going to be clamoring for, you know, season five, six, and seven. I just want to make sure that it doesn't just, you know, well, Ted goes to Disney World. Like, I just don't want to see them running out of
Yeah,
ideas
right.
and having him, you know, get on his motorbike and jump a shark.
Right.
That's very important to me because I love him so much. I looked up some shows that are supposedly, we've already mentioned Schitt's Creek, but shows if you like Ted Lasso, and if you're already finished season one and season two and you're waiting for the next season, or like me waiting for more to drop before you launch into season two, there are a few shows I pulled out of a long list that will sustain you, I suppose, until your dose of Ted Lasso comes back around. And that these are, one is Brockmire, and he's a color commentary dude. I am ill prepared to tell you more about Brockmire, but the reason
I don't think I've heard of it before.
So Brockmire stars Hank Azaria, whom I adore. I like him in anything he does. I think he's fantastic.
Oh, I remember seeing ads for this show now.
He wears the checked jacket. There's a whole story about this checked jacket too. It's a long involved story that I can let you look up if you're interested. But yeah, he basically, it's another half hour comedy series about a Major League Baseball announcer, but he has an on-air meltdown, so then hijinks ensue. But it's got a huge, like it's 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, but I'm not sure if you need, I'm not sure if you need more sports ball to be into this at all. But anyway, if you're a Hank Azaria fan, which I am, you will probably love this one. And if you're a Hank Azaria fan, you should make sure you watch, what was it called? It was a one word name, and he was a, he was a psychiatrist, and his son was Birdie. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of this, and I loved it so much. I'm going to look really quick. Huff. It's called Huff. It was two or three seasons, and he played a psychiatrist. I know I'm going way off the beaten path here. It was one of my favorite shows ever. Paget Brewster was his wife, and Blythe Danner was his mom. Oliver Platt was his best friend, and his son was Anton Yelchin, who passed away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was his son, Bird, and it was such a good, solid, amazing show. Anyway, the other show that's like Ted Lasso, besides Brockmire, another one is called The League, which also sounds sporty, but this one makes me really happy. They put Mythic Quest on the list, and I think Mythic Quest is going to need to have its own podcast by you and I. If you have not yet watched Mythic Quest, it is a heartwarming, goofy show. About a game development studio. It's on Apple TV Plus. Have you seen it? Is this why you're being quiet?
Oh yeah. No, it was very important in our lives.
I was going to say. Lunch okay, thank show. Goodness. Thank goodness. Okay, so yeah, that's. I guess if you like the brand of humor, the goofiness of Ted Lasso, you'll like the goofiness of Mythic Quest. And especially in season two, I think I can see where they're pulling in the heartwarming nature of it. It takes a couple of neato turns in season two. So,
yeah, very. A couple episodes ended with me being a little weepy eyed.
Oh, me actually. Too. It was so excellent. Yeah, that was a weird turn because out of everybody in the studio, the person that they went off on that extra special bonus material for is the one you'd least. That had the least depth of any character. Yeah. So that was very exciting for us too. So yeah. I'm trying so hard not to spoil anything ever, but check out if you're already subscribed to Apple TV Plus and have been watching Ted Lasso, Mythic Quest is probably one you'll enjoy as well.
And I would recommend a subscription to Apple TV Plus because they have enormously good quality of shows. It's surprising the number of shows that they are producing are just really fantastic. Mm-hmm. And a very quick example with the milieu of shows that you would not think, you know, you have no interest in, but turns out are really good is, for example, Physical. I'm no fan of the 80s. I grew up in the, you know, I lived through the 80s. I have no desire to go back there.
Right.
Terrible decade. Boo. And I have no interest in aerobics or anything like that, least of all 80s era aerobics, which is its own special
Think
flavor of aerobics. But this show is
Olivia
all about
Newton-John,
that.
right? Yeah. Or
Right?
think Jane Fonda.
Yes. And so physical, that's none of my business. But, it was the influence of Ted Lasso a little bit and interest in the household of watching it. And we watched it. And now the season finale just aired. And we could not get enough of that show because the show's lead character is so interesting and powerful,
Rose Byrne is
perfectly cast.
fantastic. She's a
Amazing.
fantastic actress. Yeah. I haven't
And
seen it,
so,
and now I'm excited to see it. Thank you.
yeah, you absolutely should. It'll surprise you with how just gosh darn good it really is. And yeah, there's no comedy in that show. It's all serious. And so anyway, Apple TV Plus has, I don't know, X number of original productions, and you may think I'm not going to subscribe for
Oh,
only
it's
X shows, that's not
they
very much.
are
Oh my God, no.
small but
I'm telling
mighty.
you, you will want to watch every single one of them. And once you do that, you realize that's a lot of hours of programming that you are really quality programming that you're subscribing to. So, yeah, I
It
recommend a
doesn't have
subscription. You won't be disappointed. And there's more really interesting stuff to come.
Yes, it doesn't have a
Yeah.
million shows, but what it does have is you will, like you say, want to watch every single one. If you haven't seen Trying, that's another one. It's just one that's kind of slipping under the radar. It's about a couple who are trying to have a child. That's it.
Oh,
Simple as
right.
that.
I keep seeing the ads and I keep
It's
thinking, oh, I gotta see that.
lovely. It is lovely. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's so quirky and fun. The two of them are hysterical together. He is amazingly funny. But just all the things that it's very heartwarming and it's very. And the thing is, you don't have to be interested in urchins, as you call them, or children, or pregnancy, or childbirth, or any of it. It's just this. That's just the situation in which they find themselves. But the two of them, their relationship, how they interact with the world, makes it very special. And the only other one I want to bring up really quickly, as far as just. Really, really well done is Mosquito Coast is another Apple Plus original, and it
Oh, I've
was
heard that that's good.
we loved it. I will say the first half of the season was like, yeah, any of this could happen, sure. And the second half we were like, no, they're making us suspend our belief a little bit, like it's getting a little bit, it doesn't
Strained.
matter. It's well, just every star has to align in every direction for some of the things to happen. And some of the moments you're like, oh, why did he go up through the grate when he could have just broken down the door? Like stuff like that. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's moments like that, and you're like, oh, this is just fun. It kind of hits not quite comic book levels, but you know when you're watching, it's like, okay, I'm being entertained. This would rarely happen in real life. So yeah, I know we just kind of went off on a long Apple Plus unsponsored ad there, but it doesn't matter. They are doing, what Netflix did at the start, which was just start accumulating really good content and having people, when they started doing their original shows, and now they'll do everything and anything. And I think Apple's just being far more discerning and careful. And so it really is quality over quantity. But if you subscribe to one thing at a time, you'll be on Apple Plus for a year or more. Like it does have a lot of great shows. And with that, we are far out of time, but I don't care. This was a good episode and I had fun.
Yes.
And you can find us at Reviews30 on Twitter. We would love you to tell us what show you'd like us to talk about next or ever, and we'll talk about it. We promise.
It's true. It's true. Plus, we got to figure out a show. You mentioned, shows that we like and don't like. We need to figure out a show that we hate to warn people away from because we've been talking about shows we love, and it just occurred to me, wait a minute. It's like we love everything. No, there are shows we hate, so we need to cover one of those one day.
Okay, let's do that next time. I think that's a great idea. That'll be episode number 8.
Yeah.
Episode number 8. We'll talk about one that neither of us like. That's going to be hard to find because a lot of our tastes are the same, but we also like different things too sometimes. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank Audacity. We record on Audacity and we talk on Discord. So thank you, Discord. Thank you to Ben, who does post-production. He's yes, amazing. Please. Thank you to all our followers. We love you very much. And you can find us on all kinds of things. Anchor is where we do our hosting of the show, but we're on Spotify and all those other fun places. So wherever you're listening, thank you so much for listening. We love you very much.
Yay. Thank you.
All right. I'll see you next time for episode 8.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye.